given me this about fanning to flames the gift and calling that is in you. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we started 2 weeks ago, and we started with verse 3. And verse 3 says, as I urge you when I was going to Macedonia, remain in, am I in the right place? Nope. 2 Timothy. I'm in 1 Timothy, see? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here we go. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayer night and day. The first thing we see here is Paul was a man of prayer. All notice that Paul, he was a man of prayer. Not only that, in his heart he had a clear conscience. I pray that I would always have a clear conscience. When my conscience is bothering me, I go and I try to get it all cleared up. But Paul said he had a clear conscience and he was praying night and day for his son, so to speak. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. Then he said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. That's going to be my message for Mother's Day. That's going to be my message for Mother's Day, because some of the commentary says here, because when they say that do not be timid or cowardice, they believe that because he was raised by two women, the father wasn't, that he was more on the timid side. But the good thing about raising by them, he was also endowed with great faith from his grandmother and his mother. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control, a sound mind. I reminded you 2 weeks ago, we said that we have to fan into flames. We talked about the fire. You know, I love sitting by a fire. And when you move out in the country, you get that even more than if you live in the city. But something about a fire is this. A fire don't just keep blazing. You have to stoke the fire. You have to add wood to the fire. A fire don't stay blazing all the time. And one of the reasons we don't stay blazing for the Lord is that it's because we don't stoke the fire and we don't fan it into flames. We talked about that God wants you to burn for him. You know, when we think about fire, we think that fire is very, it will burn you up. But God wants the fire that is in you to be flaming at all times. We talked about there is three types of people in the church. Three types of people in the church. We said that there's people in the church that are burning for the Lord. They're on fire. They have their flames are going. They're keeping it stoked. They're making sure they take the fan out and make sure those coals don't stay just bright. But they make sure it flames. Then you have those that it's just amber. It has a nice glow, like a lot of Christians, but we really are doing anything because we do not have the flame. And then we have those that don't have any at all. Those are those who are not saved. And I ask you guys, what is the gift on God and the calling in life? In Timothy's case, he was prayed for by Paul, laying of hands, and the gift was communicated to him of what his gift. All of us have a gift that we can use for the Lord. All of us. God gives all of us gifts. And we need to use it for the Lord. What's your gift? You need to know what your gift is and fan it into flame. Today, we're going to take the verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God does not give us fear. Now, I put on the side note of one of my things. I said, there is something definitely that we know for sure that God don't give us, and that's fear. Now, when you think of the word fear, there's also a sense that, how to put it? We want to get away from the fear of the Lord. That's a different type of fear. When you read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that is not talking about the same type of fear. This is a different word. To fear God means a reverent type of fear. Do you know, I'm not afraid of the police. I'm really not afraid of the police. But I do have a fear of the police, especially when I see the blue light coming behind me. It's not that I'm so afraid of them that when they walk up to the car, I get a heart attack because I'm so afraid. No, that's not the type of fear. I respect their position and their authority. So we are not talking about the type of fear that we have for God, the reverent type of fear for his authority and his power and his control over us. We are not talking about the type of fear we have for God because God is the creator of the world. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the type of fear that stops us from doing what God has called us to do. That's the fear we're talking about. For some reason, Timothy was timid. The cowardness they interpreted. Some says timidity. Oh, however they pronounce that. That's correct. So what is stopping you from doing the will of God in your life? Folks, I remember the first time I had to preach. I know I was called. I know God has gifted me. God had spoken to me. I know I was doing the will of God. And I praise God that it had a podium with nobody could see my legs. I come up to the podium to preach, and my legs are shaking, and nobody could see it. Why? I am so afraid. I'm afraid I wouldn't say the right thing. I'm afraid I'll mess up. I'm afraid I won't read it correctly. I'm afraid I won't remember. I was afraid. But I didn't let fear stop me. Some of us allow fear to stop us from what God wants us to do. Here's the key. God did not give you that kind of fear. If you have a fear of not doing what God calls you to do, that God didn't give you that fear. That did not come from God at all. The Bible tells us plain and clear, God does not give us fear, a spirit of fear. Do you know what fear is? Fear is a spirit. I remember, I think I told you guys this story, and I will never forget it. We are at Tocoa, and with Michael and two other guys, and we're heading up the falls. We're up the falls, and we get to this place up at the falls where this cliff is very, very high, and we all walk up the side of the cliff, and when you look down, the water is nice, and everybody is jumping off. Guess what? I come to the edge. I look down. I step back. I come to the edge, I look down, I step back, and then I climb down. Everybody was enjoying the jump and enjoying the experience, but I allow fear to stop me. And up to today, I remember that. Some of you all are being ineffective and not accomplishing anything because you are allowing the spirit of fear, which God did not give you, so you got it somewhere else, to hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. So what did God give him? He says he did not give him a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. God gave us a spirit. God breathed. Of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, that word that we use for dynamite is the same word here for power. But listen what's amazing. I never did this before, but I went to see where else that type of power is mentioned in the Bible. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately, this is talking about the Spirit. Jesus, going back, I'm skipping ahead. I shouldn't do that. To do God's work, we must have His Spirit that He gives us, the Spirit of power. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Do you realize that Jesus didn't go to be tempted until he received the Spirit? Jesus did not fully begin his ministry until he received the Spirit. The kind of Spirit that only God gives. Because God does not give the spirit of fear. And then that word is interpreted many ways. I want to say that that word power means the anointing to do what you are called to do. That word a power there? The anointing to do what you are called to do. That same word is used in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Identical word. It said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judah and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Another place that that word is used, you remember the story very well. There was this woman. She had an issue of blood. She went everywhere to get healing. She tried every doctor, every herb, every remedy. Nothing worked. But Jesus said, "Who touched me? I felt virtue." That same word is the same word that he said that Jesus says virtue is the same word for power. He says, "I felt power." And that same type of power God has given to us so that we could accomplish our gifting and our calling that is in our lives. Do you know that uncontrolled power is dangerous? Uncontrolled power is very dangerous. That's why we should look closely at what else he says. He has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. That word love there is agape. So he has given us agape love to accompany the kind of power that we have to do the ministry. Do you know that there's some folks, they don't use their power in a loving way? And when you don't use your power in a loving way, you can do more damage than you can do good. But when you are controlled by Holy Spirit, and you are allowing the agape love to flow in you, you are allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit. Where else do we see this word agape? Where else could we understand what this love is all about? Well, we all know the scripture well. It's in Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. You see that word love right there is the same word used right here. Agape is patient and kind. Agape does not envy or boast. Agape is not arrogant or rude. Agape does not insist on its own way. Agape does not become irritable or resentful. Agape does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Agape rejoices with the truth. Agape bears all things. Agape believes all things. Agape hopes all things. Agape endures all things. Agape never ends. God has not given you a spirit of being coward or afraid, but he has given you the dynamite type of power, the same kind of power that flows from Jesus to heal the sick so that you could accomplish what you need to accomplish, but he has given to you it seasoned with agape love. You know, love is patient. I didn't even do no dig deeping on these words. I just went to the Greek and looked up some of the meaning of these words and how it's used. It says, when it says patient, it says to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. That's what patience means. That's how it's been used in the Bible that we are reading every day. To be kind, to show oneself mild and show kindness. And those are only the first two. It says it doesn't envy. It doesn't look at something that is not yours and desire it. It doesn't boast to look at yourself and beat your chest. It's not arrogant to think you're all that or rude the way you live your life. It does not insist on its own way. It doesn't say, I want my way. It's my way or the highway. That's not what agape does. It's not irritable or resentful. That sounds like some of us, but God help us to have the agape love. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Agape loves the truth. Agape never ends. I wonder if how many marriages would still be together today if they realized that agape never ends. And then he says, self-discipline, self-control. Self-discipline, self-control. You know, one of the things I hate is when I lose self-control. I hate that. I always try to keep my cool. Always. No matter what's happening, I always try to keep my cool. But it always, after a while, sometimes I get breakdown and I lose my cool. And then after I lose my cool, I feel bad. I can't remember what it was. I bought something and I needed him to take care of it. And they wouldn't take care of it. And I know it's not my fault, and I know they should take care of it. And boy, I did some phone calls, and I lost my cool. Now, it did. It's bad to say it did solve my problem when I lost my cool. It did. But that's not how God wants me to operate. He wants me to be self-controlled and sober-minded. I think some of us lose our cool too quickly. We lose our cool over little things. We lose our cool over things we should just let it lie. And we just lose it. Why? Because we are not allowing what God has given to us to operate in us. What did he say? I have given to you a spirit of power, a spirit of agape, and a spirit of sound mind. So when you are in a place, when you are doing God's will, which doing God's will is living the life God wants you to live every day, and when you walk outside of that and you are losing your cool and you're not being self-controlled and you're not being sober-minded, you are not using the tool that God has given to you, which is His Holy Spirit. I want God's Holy Spirit to be in control of my life. The Bible says, they that walk by the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What do you want? And then after he said all of this, there's a few things I want to point out in the rest. He says, after he tell him all of them, he says, Be not thou therefore ashamed, verse 8, of the testimony of the Lord. Nor of me, his prisoner. Suppose he said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and don't be ashamed of those who are walking in God's way and being persecuted or making fun of. And yet he says, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Not according to us, but according to the power of God. Why? Because God has saved us. Who had saved us, verse 9, and who has called us? Here's the key. God saved you. God called you. God gifted you. And he gave you everything you need to succeed. And God's calling is with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us. See what that power does? You see what God gives us does? It's his calling. It's his purpose. It's not ours. According to his purpose and grace, which has been given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began. Folks, we are in a place that if we heed God's word, we can accomplish much. And we can do it without fear because we have a power that the world don't have. God has given us the spirit of power, the anointing for the calling that on our lives. And he gave us the agape love so we can use that power with God type of love. And not only that, our sound mind and soberness doesn't depend on us, but it depends on the spirit that he has given us. Because those three things are hinged on the beginning. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And then he tells us the type of spirit that he gave us. He gave us a spirit of power. Of love. And of a sound mind. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that gift and calling that you have? First thing I know, you cannot do anything with it if you don't have the gift that God gives. You can't. You can try, you'll become frustrated. You could try, but you would fail. You could try, and you will do no more damage than good. But if you would realize that God has given you all that you need, he has poured upon you the dunamis, the dynamite, the anointing, all that you need to do what he has called you to do. And that spirit has that agape love and that sound and sober mind. Father, as we come to you this morning, let us not forget, but let us be reminded, just like how Paul reminds Timothy to not neglect the gift and calling that is in his life because he is fearful or because he feels he don't have what it takes to accomplish the task. But Paul reminds him that God has given to him all that he needs to accomplish what he had to accomplish. And today we have an example to follow and to look at, that you, our God, has given us all that we need. Because you said, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. And you shall be my witnesses. So, Father, this morning, fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Pour your Holy Spirit on us. Let us realize that we have one of the greatest gifts that you have given to us. Because even in Corinthians chapter 1 verse 13, it says everything else is going to go away. But love is going to stand. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending Holy Spirit to live in us. Thank you for giving us the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of a sound mind. And Father, help us to use it. Use Holy Spirit to do what you place us here to do and to bring honor and glory to your name. Because our purpose and our calling is not according to us, but it's according to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we bless you and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I thank you.